Okay, this is the beginning of tape two with Clara Schmidt, who came from Germany in 1923 when she was 18. Mrs. Schmidt, we were just talking about your husband had been brought to America when he was 3 months old.
Right.
You met him when you were working in a hotel in Germany.
Not in the hotel. I stopped working there and I went to the factory.
To the factory.
That's where I met him, or he met me. I was working down here and he was working way down. There was a long assembly bench, you know. I was cleaning the watch covers on the inside. I was doing that. That was my job. And he was, what was he doing on the watches? He was fitting them, the cover. They were pocket watches, but they were that big.
Yeah, that's like 4 inches round.
Yeah, and they all had a cover on it, and he fitted the covers on them. And he was working way down there. And when I came to the factory, he saw me, and his next door fellow had to come down to me and ask me whether I would like to go out with him. I never went out with nobody. I was 16. My father wouldn't let us out. So I said, I can't go any place with him. He has to come to my father and talk to him. That's what he did.
Were you attracted to him? Did you?
He just happened to see me sitting there doing the work. And he said to him, that girl I would like, he said to the next door fella. So I couldn't understand him. He had a very bad German language. I mean, he talked a broken Austrian. His mother was Austrian.
Well, he probably spoke English in America, right?
Yes, but he couldn't talk the German so good. I didn't understand him. So he had to make the interpreter. The fellow that sat next to him, he used to have to come down. But they were very strict in the factory. He couldn't go and just do what he wanted to do. So it was all in the free time before we started working or after work.
Well, tell me after he came to meet your father. Tell me about the first time you went out with him. What was that like?
Oh, I didn't go out with him. My father let me go, but I had to be home at a certain time. And he took me to his relatives in the nearby village. There were all villages all around there. And he took me there to his relatives. But the relatives which he lived with, they didn't like it, and they were so mad. Oh, they just didn't want him to get together with me. And he didn't let up. I didn't care for him.
What did you talk about that first time you went with him? What did you talk about?
Well, I don't know anymore, but I I didn't even care for him. But he didn't let up and didn't let up. And I don't know how we got together like that. And then when I heard that the Rakebeks is their name, his Rak is their name. They were bakers and my father was bakers. That's why they didn't like each other. There was jealousy.
What was the name again? Rak?
Rak. R-A-G-G. Two G's on the end. Rak.
Was that his mother's side of the family?
Yeah. Mrs. Rak was a sister to my husband's father.
Oh, I see.
She was a sister.
And his name is what? Your husband, the man you would marry soon?
He was Joseph Schmid.
Joseph Schmid.
Yeah. His name was really Schmid, but he always had a T on the end, and we left it that way. But the Schmid name is only with a D.
But
S-C-H-M-I-D.
M-I-D.
But the T he put on, and we left it that way because he did that. During the war, he changed his name too, because he was afraid here in America.
During the Second World War. The Second World War.
The First.
Well, that's right, because he's in America during the First World War.
That's right.
He hadn't come to Germany yet?
Let me see. Well, when was the First World War?
1914 to 1918.
Oh, he came in 1922, out there.
Out to Germany?
Yeah, or in 21. 21 it was. He was there a little while before he met me. And what did you ask me?
You answered it. We were talking about when he came.
Oh.
Well, did he propose to you? Did he propose marriage to you in Germany?
No, not in a long time. We never even talked about marriage. But he wanted me. But I was too young. He was older. He was 27. And I was 16. Let me see. He was 8.5 years older than I am. And you know, at that time, I was very young. I was just 16 when I met him. And my father wouldn't let me out with nobody.
Well, tell me a little bit about why you wanted to come to America and how that all happened.
Oh, I was so happy to come.
But why did you want to come? I mean, how did that all happen?
You know how it happened? An awful lot of people in my hometown had relatives here in America, and they all left, an awful lot of them. And then I got it in my head too, if I only had somebody here. I did have somebody here, but my mother and her was on the outs. My aunt, Aunt Ida, I met her when I came here. She looked me up. She was married to my mother's brother, and she couldn't live with him, she said to me. She had a baby, so she went with the baby on the arm to America. How they did it, I don't know at that time. She went to America by herself with the baby, and this baby's name was Paula. I met her when I came back here. They were wonderful people.
But at that time, when you wanted to come to America, it wasn't possible for you to hook up with Ida because she wasn't speaking to your mom, or they weren't getting along at that time. Is that...
You mean out in Germany?
Well, you said that you had somebody here in America.
Yeah, my mother was saying, you have an aunt there. And
but you said they were on the outs.
No, yes, they were on the outs. But relatives out there wrote to some here. There was always somebody from our hometown here.
When they you say here, where do you mean specifically?
In Brooklyn, New York.
In Brooklyn, okay.
That's where I came to.
Uh-huh.
And they wrote that Frieda, my mother's name is Frieda, Frieda's daughter is in America. They wrote to them. And they looked me up.
That was once you got here.
Yeah, but I had already my baby. I had my Elaine. And one morning, I was a janitor in a 6-family house.
Wait. Let's get you to America before we... This is... You're still in Germany now.
Yeah?
Right. We haven't gotten you to America yet.
Oh, I see.
What I want to know is how did you make the arrangements to come to America, and how your husband-to-be played into this?
Oh, he had to come back home because his visa ran out. He only had 2 years there, and he had to get back home.
To America?
Yeah. So he said, I'm going to send for you. I'm going to have you come. I didn't believe it. I just didn't care whether he did or he didn't.
You weren't married to him at that point?
No, not married at all. So I thought, well, if he does, all right. If he has me come, all right. If not, all right, too. But my people didn't like it. And his people didn't like it. But we did it anyway. I knew he couldn't save any money. So I thought, he never gets no ship ticket together. But he got it together in about 6 months. He borrowed money from a worker which worked with him, from my sister-in-law, and he sent me a ship ticket. I never thought he would do it. Never.
Surprise.
In my life. And he did it. And everybody over there was so jealous. They thought, now she's going to America. They didn't like it. His relatives, mostly. His relatives were so against it that we was getting together.
Well, when you got that ship ticket, how did you feel?
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I just was in heaven. I never thought he would do it. I never thought that. But it happened.
Tell me about the whole process of getting ready to leave Germany and what you had to do in order to leave Germany.
Oh, I had to go to get a visa. I had to go to Stuttgart, and that's 4 hours away. And my father, of course, he wasn't so happy. My mother either. They didn't like it that I should go, but I pushed it myself. And my brother is the one that helped me. Otherwise, I couldn't have done it. My brother pushed it, and he made my father, he had to sign a paper. I got the papers here, but he had to sign. I brought all the papers. Do you want to see them?
Yes, when we're done, I'll take a look at that. Yeah, yeah. Which brother, what was your brother's name who helped? What was your brother's name?
Carl.
Carl. So just Carl is helping
he
this.
He engineered it. He was 2 years older than me, or 2.5, something like that. And he is the one helped, because he wanted to come here too. But he never did. I felt bad that he couldn't. But he came later on. He came to visit us.
Well, tell me a little bit about, you know, say your father and your mother aren't too happy about this.
No,
they talk
didn't.
A little more about that. I mean, what were their objections?
Well, they thought I was too young to go and leave home to America, to a man.
To a man you don't really even care that much
no,
for.
No, I didn't care about him much, but he was very good to me, and I learned to love him. I loved him. I'm sorry I lost him. Very sorry. Oh. Now I'm starting to cry.
Just take a minute, you'll be okay. How long did it take from the time that you got the ship ticket in the mail until you actually left?
Oh, it didn't take long. It didn't take long because I went right away to the city hall and got the papers together. And he sent it. He sent it in. Well, I left November 15th, the same year.
1923.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have to undergo any kind of physical examinations in Germany?
In Germany, I'm not sure. Yes, when we went on the boat from Hamburg.
Before you got on the ship,
no.
Did you have to go to a doctor?
No, not in my hometown or anything.
What did you pack to take with you?
Whatever I had very little, but I packed.
Do you remember what that was specifically?
Well, my clothes, what I had, I can't remember. I took enough. I didn't have too much because I didn't have much money. And he didn't send me any landing money. He said he would have it. He didn't have it, but he had it when I came.
Did you take any objects with you? Something
yes.
Other than clothing?
I took a little pictures. For my sister-in-law, she was very good to me too. I had a lovely sister-in-law.
What kind of pictures were they?
Oh, they were pictures like a little girl on it, you know, a photograph like.
Just nice little pictures.
Just, yeah, I didn't have much money to go and buy a lot. But then I bought some watches. My brother gave me a couple of watches, which were made in the factory, and I brought them to him. But what he did when I came, he took everything, and I don't know what happened to it. he must have sold them because they liked the German watches. At that time, they were pocket watches, alarm clocks too. If you set the alarm, they will go off in your pocket. That's the kind they were.
What kind of luggage are you carrying, or what do you have that you're carrying?
I can't even remember what I had, but I had one of those baskets. My mother gave it to me. It was, you saw them at Ellis Island there, them baskets.
How big was it?
It was that high.
It's about 2 feet
and
high.
This, yeah.
About 3 feet long.
Yeah, like that.
Was it square?
Square, yeah. Uh-huh. My mother gave me that along, and she gave me a little bed wash. Whatever she could give me, she gave me.
Bed
for the bed, to make the bed. Pillowcases and
linens. Yes, linens.
Yeah.
I see. You said your mother went with you to Hamburg, to the ship, or she went with you part of the way anyway?
Yeah, only part of the way, because it cost her too much to go to Hamburg.
Before you left your village, your town, was there any kind of a gathering in honor of your leaving?
Oh, a couple of girls which were ready to come here too came to see me to say goodbye, and I met them when they were here. But you know, all the Schrambergers, the people from Schramberg, got here together in America. They formed a club. And we got always together, the Schramberg people.
What about your family, your father or your grandmother? Did any of those people?
They didn't like it.
They were unhappy.
Weren't happy that I left.
How did that make you feel that they
My grandmother, she said, "Du lasch das Mädle so weit weg, so far away." She said to my father, "Well, what could he do? I wanted to go, and I wasn't of age out there. He had to sign the paper. My brother had a lot of trouble getting him sign that paper."
Because your father just did not want you to go.
He didn't want me to go. None of them wanted me to go.
How long of a trip is it from Schwamburg to Hamburg?
Oh, a long time. From Schwamburg to Stuttgart took 4 hours. From Stuttgart, we were all night on the train, a whole night. Took about 8 hours, maybe 10.
Is your mom still with you at that point?
No, she didn't come
with
me.
What town did she get off in?
She left me, I don't know whether she left me in Stuttgart. She had to go to Tübingen, and Tübingen is a little bit farther away, this side. Where she left me, I don't know anymore.
How do you spell Tübingen?
Tübingen. T-U
with the umlaut.
B-T-I-N-G-E-N. Tübingen.
Was anyone else traveling with you, or just was it
no,
just you and
I
your mother?
No, I was all alone.
How did when you said goodbye to your mother?
Yes.
And she went to where?
Yeah.
How did you feel about from that point to before you got to Hamburg?
Well,
how did you feel about?
I was so alone. I was a little afraid, but there was other people in the train. The train was full when we went to Hamburg. Now, I don't know whether how many went there, wherever the people traveled, that I don't remember. But I sat in my seat, the train was full, and I sat in my seat all night long until we got there. Now, I can't remember when I got there where I went. I knew I had to go someplace, but I can't remember how it happened.
Do you know how long you were in Hamburg before you got on the ship?
Not long.
Did you have to sleep somewhere? Were you there overnight?
That I don't know if I was overnight or not. I think so. Yes, I had to sleep someplace. Everything was marked out for me. You know, I was alone, and there were so many strangers, and I was young. I was very young.
What happened in Hamburg before you got on the ship?
Oh, we had to get examined. And they examined you good.
What do you mean by that? What?
You had to go naked before the doctor. And he looked you all over.
Did you have any particular feelings about having to do that?
No, they all had to do it. There was a couple of other girls like myself. And we had to stand in line. Now, I don't know whether where we left the clothes or had them on the arm, but we had to get all undressed. And I think it's the Americans that were there to examine you, because they don't let anybody here in this country at that time. If you had an operation, they looked you all over. And when my sister came, they looked her over. She had an operation on the little finger, and she was so afraid that she wouldn't be taken. But she got here.
That was the sister who came in 1927.
Yeah, she's still here. She's in Long Island.
What was the name of the ship that you got on? The ship. What was the name of the ship?
The Minicada.
And tell me, was this the first time you'd ever been on a ship?
Oh, sure.
Tell me what you thought when you saw this ship.
Oh, you know, I kind of was in heaven, because I was going someplace and someplace where I never was. And it was an aventure. They call it an aventure. I don't know what they call it here. A surprise. It was a surprise for me. And everything was new to me, whatever came along. Well, but there was all people like myself.
Well, tell me about what happened on the ship. Tell me about where you slept and what you did while you were on the ship.
Oh, I slept in a cabin with two other girls, something like myself. And we were together, the three. I must get the pictures to show
you. Yes, when we're done, we can do that.
Oh. Well, we were together, three girls. We were three in a cabin. I was on the bottom, I think. Yes, and the other girl was up over me, and then there was one on the other side. There was four bits. And you know what happened during the trip? We were sleeping, and all of a sudden I heard something, and something jumped on my bed. And do you know what it was? A big rat jumped right on my bed. Oh, I was so scared. But she didn't do nothing. She ran away.
Lucky for you.
But jumped on my bed. I don't know where she came from, but it was that big. We saw it.
That's like a foot long.
Yeah.
Where do they feed you on the ship?
Huh?
Where do they feed you on the ship?
Oh, we had good food. Very good food. I can't tell you what they fed us anymore.
Do you remember what it looked like where they fed you?
Wonderful.
Where? What? Describe what the room looked like where they fed you.
There was round tables, and they all were sitting on the tables, and the waiters was waiting on us. I can't remember what the food was, but it was all good food.
I want to do a spelling of the ship for the tape. It's MINNEKAHDA.
Minicada.
Minicada.
Yeah.
Yes. I've interviewed other people who came on that ship, too.
What?
I've interviewed other people who came on the Minicada.
Did you?
Yes.
On the same?
No, not on the same trip, I don't think. I interviewed a woman who came on the Minicada in 1924.
What do you know?
What did you do all day on the ship? What was there to do?
Oh, we were always busy. We went up on the deck. It was a one-class boat. We could go from the front to the back. We weren't tied down for anything. We could do what we wanted.
And what was that? What did you
do? Oh, we mostly was watching the water and the sharks and the fish that jumped up. That was something new on the boat. We always was watching the water. And then sometimes there, way back there, was another ship passing, maybe a bigger one than ours. We passed a lot of ships on the way. It was a wonderful trip.
I can tell you're getting excited just talking about it.
I loved it. I loved it. But you know, I got seasick too.
And what happened? When you got sick, what?
Oh, then I had to go down and lay down. I had to throw up a lot. I couldn't eat much. I was seasick because it was schaukeln all the time, swinging. And that made me sick. Even when I used to go on a swing, I couldn't take it. And I was seasick all the way. And the second time I went too, and when I went home to see my parents again, I took my baby, my Elaine. I was 6 years old. She was 6 years old, but I had to go with my mother-in-law. She wanted somebody to go with her. My sister-in-law came and asked me if I would go with her.
Well, what year was this, the trip back to Germany?
In 1931.
Okay.
31. So, yeah. Yeah.
How long did the trip on the Minicata take?
From November 15th to December 1st. The day before we landed. We landed and we had to stay out in the harbor. We couldn't come in until the first. They came in a day earlier. And we had to stay out in the harbor until in the morning. Then we went in.
Do you remember seeing the Statue of Liberty?
Yes, oh yes, we saw that.
Did you know what that was?
Oh sure, I knew it. The Statue of Liberty. Yes, it was a nice view. Everything was so new to me.
I was going to say, what did you think when you saw New York City from the boat when you were in the
harbor? Beautiful, beautiful. And when he got me, he came only on Monday. They didn't get me off anymore.
Well, wait, let's get you to Ellis Island first. The ship comes in.
Yes.
And the ship docks.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
So many got into a smaller boat. We had to go down into a boat. I don't know how many they took, and brought us over to Ellis Island. And there we had to go in, and we had to get examined again. All over again, the same thing as in Germany. And we had to stand in line, all the women, and I think the men had to go on another side. And
did you have to take your clothes off? All
off, everything off. And they looked you over, all over, that you are perfect to be coming in. They wouldn't take anybody that had an operation or any kind of trouble.
Now, did you have to stay overnight at Ellis Island?
Yes.
How many nights did you stay?
We came in on Friday night. Saturday and Sunday.
So you stayed 3 nights at Ellis Island.
Yeah.
And they let you off on
Monday. And Monday morning he came to get me. I was afraid. There were some people there. They made you be afraid. They were there a couple of months. And some of them got sent back. Oh, it was such a sad thing there. Because some of them, they cried. And the room was full of people. They just had you in there like cattle, you know, in the one room.
Tell me about where you slept at Ellis Island.
I slept on one of them beds. You know the Ellis Island, they showed the beds and the spring, and they gave you just a blanket. And a blanket maybe to lay on and a blanket to cover yourself.
Do you remember anything else about the room where you slept, or anything stick out in your mind about that experience?
I don't think there was anything else there. I had to climb up and go on the second one.
Like a bunk bed, a second
yeah.
top.
Yeah. Okay. I think there was 3 layers, if I'm right. I'm not sure anymore. But I was up there.
You were up on top.
I had to go up.
Were there other people sleeping in this room?
Oh, yes.
And do you remember any of those people at
all?
Oh,
no, I don't. I don't remember anybody, because everybody had their own troubles and they were so afraid. Everyone was afraid that they were getting sent back. They were talking about You know, just the talk was going around, oh, that one is getting sent back, or this one is getting sent back. And it was not a good atmosphere when we were there.
Do you remember there being other German people there?
Now, I don't know whether I was talking to any other Germans. I don't remember that.
Do you remember any of the staff, the doctors or?
Oh, there was nobody around, only when there was examinations.
Were you questioned at all at that time?
No questions. They had everything on paper.
Where did they feed you at Ellis Island?
Oh, in a big room. A big room with a long table, and they were all sitting on that side and on this side. Everybody, and good food. My goodness, that food. When I saw the white bread, we had never any white bread in Germany at that time. My father couldn't afford the white bread. We had always rye bread. And that nice white bread, when I think of it, it was really nice.
Did you see anything? Now, you're at Ellis Island for a whole weekend. Did you see anything during that time at Ellis Island that you had never seen before that was totally new to you, other than the white bread?
I don't remember anything.
Do you remember how you felt during this whole
weekend? I just was always wondering, is he coming to get me? That's all I was wondering, because you never know what's happening. Because he couldn't get me off anymore on Saturday. They only worked until 5 or 6 o'clock, and then it was Schluss, and so we had to stay. I thought maybe I'd get on yet, but I didn't.
Sorry, go ahead.
He must have been there, but I don't remember. And Monday morning early, he came to get me. And they got us both together. But no, we weren't left alone until we were married.
So they married you at Ellis Island?
No.
No.
A lady went with us to the Leo House. That is in New York. And when we were married, she left us. She had to make sure that we were married.
So they sent an escort with you,
yes,
to witness the ceremony.
There was another couple.
Oh, well,
same
that's...
thing, but they were going to another city.
Can you tell me how, when you saw Joseph, when he arrived,
yeah,
how did you greet each other?
I can't remember what we did. I don't remember anymore. Did we kiss each other or we didn't? I can't remember that. But he was so happy. He was happy to have me.
Do you remember what you were wearing that Monday when you...
What I was wearing? No. But I wore a nice dress, that much I know. I had a couple of nice dresses. One of them got taken on me, stole on me, wherever we lived after a while. I hung it out, I hung my wash out, and my dress was taken off the line. A nice new dress, and it was such a pretty dress. We were living in a rear house. In the front was a big house, and we went through a big hall, and in the rear house we lived. But that was only about 3 months after.
Did he bring a present for you when he came to meet you?
Did he bring?
A present or something when he came to meet you,
no,
at Ellis Island.
No, he had nothing. He had only a furnished room. He brought me into a furnished room. And this furnished room had, in the bedroom, a little table like this in the corner with a little 2-burner gas stove where we could make our breakfast or whatever we wanted to eat. He didn't have anything at all. I had to start from scratch. We didn't even have a spoon or a cup. We had to buy it all. We had to go out to eat in the beginning until we had money enough to buy things gradually. And then I went to work. I said, I want to go to work right away. And he brought me into a candy factory. I couldn't talk English so too good, only a couple of words. That's what held me back. So he is the one that brought me to work in a candy factory. And there was a German woman, and she could talk German to me. And I kind of held on to her. I held on to that woman a long time.
Did she help you learn English?
Yes,
how did she teach you English?
How did she do it? I don't know anymore. But I caught on very fast. You know, when you hear English, and a little bit I knew. So I learned it very fast. In about 3 months, I could converse.
Do you remember some of the first words you learned in English?
Well, whatever you talked about, I don't know anymore which the words were. I learned a little bit by book at home.
In Germany?
Yeah, I had a little book where you can learn English in it. And I don't know, did I go to school or not? You know, everything costed so much money and you didn't have no money.
The woman who went with you from Ellis Island to Leo House.
She was very nice.
Did she speak German?
I don't remember. I think she did.
Did you understand why she was with you?
Oh, yes. That I know. They made us understand, you know.
Well, and Joseph spoke English.
Yeah, he's the one talked English when he came to get me.
Before we leave Ellis Island and get you into your life, is there anything else about being at Ellis Island those 3 nights that sticks out in your mind?
Well, it's the way we had to do, you know. It was new. Everything was new. And what sticks in my mind is just that good food they served. That good food we had there. Wonderful.
So this woman escorts you to Leo House.
Yes.
In New York. You get married.
Yeah.
You think there's another couple involved in this.
I don't know, did they come with us or they didn't? I can't remember. But they got married with us. I think she had to take them too. I think she took us all four together. But I can't remember anymore.
How did you feel as you were actually standing there being wed to Joseph after all this time? You know, you didn't think he was going to send the ticket. Well, he did send the ticket.
Yeah.
So now you've come all this way. You weren't sure he was going to meet you at Ellis Island. Well, he appears at Ellis Island. How did you feel as you were standing there being married to this man that you really don't even know that well?
Yeah, well, I was very happy. Very happy. And I always was not afraid because he was very good to me and he meant it. He wasn't no fly-by-night, that I know.
Well, and everything he said he would do, yeah. He did.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
He sent the ticket. He lied a lot.
He said he had money in Stuttgart, which wasn't true, you know, when we first met each other. He had money there and... and when I came, in the letter he said, my family will come to the boat to meet you. That wasn't true. He is the only one that came. And then his sister at the time was living in Brooklyn. She came then at night time to see me. And she is the one who took me in her hands and helped me a lot. She was a dressmaker. She worked for a dressmaker family, a dressmaker place. It was an apartment where she worked with this lady. And she was very good. She made me right away a couple of dresses. She was wonderful, my sister-in-law. And she's the one who took me around a little bit. And she always took me along with with her to sit there while she was working.
So she really kind of helped you get
across. Oh, she was a wonderful woman.
You mentioned earlier in the interview that your husband said that he would have landing money for you when he got here.
Well, he must have had something. I don't know what he had. He didn't show me nothing.
But so that was sort of just taken care of.
Yeah.
And you didn't know.
Yeah. He never could save. That is why I thought he'll never have me come.
Where was his one room apartment with the gas burner?
On Bedford Avenue.
On Bedford Avenue in Brooklyn.
Yeah. 398 was the number. It was a small house and they were Spanish people which had it. And I think they were just two ladies, and they accepted me and was nice, but they didn't mingle in with us, with both of us. We had to make our own life.
What was he doing for work, your husband?
He was working for an elevator company at that time.
And doing what exactly?
He was a machinist by trade, and I think when anything broke, he had to fix it. And then after a while he worked in the Intertype Corporation. There he was 10 years.
Intertype.
Downtown Brooklyn. I wonder if it's still there.
Might be.
10 years he worked there. He had a good job. And he made always good money.
Do you remember after you got married? Where did you go next? Did you go right to the apartment, right? Or did you get something to eat?
Oh, yeah, he took me to eat first in the restaurant where he ate. And he introduced me. And there I got the job washing dishes right away.
So that was your first job washing dishes?
Yeah, I didn't stay there long because dishes washing from morning to night, my back started aching.
Do you remember how much they paid you for doing that?
I don't think they paid me much. I remember I got in the candy factory $15 a week.
Well, can you talk a little bit about your job in the candy factory and what you had to do?
Oh, it was a, what do you call it? In German they call it a laufendes Band.
Looks like a conveyor belt.
A conveyor. And I had to lay the candies there, which was, the chocolate was coming down on it. I had to take the candies and line them up, and you have to work fast so that nothing is missing. And the chocolate was dripping down to cover them. They were the chocolate candies. They were that big. They were
small, round
candies. like a little bit bigger than a marble, and flat on the bottom. And well, that's what I had to do.
And how many hours did you do that a day?
How many hours we worked, I don't know that. I can't remember how many hours.
Do you remember if you stood or sat while you were doing it?
What?
Did you stand or were you sitting?
Oh, we had to stand. You had to stand up. You couldn't sit. There was no chairs to sit. The band was quite high and it was just even like that.
And did you have a uniform or something that you wore?
That I don't remember either. But I got $15 a week.
And you mentioned there was another German woman who worked with you.
Yeah.
Were they all immigrants who worked in this factory? Or?
I don't even know that. I don't know that anymore. But I doubt it. I doubted that they were immigrants.
How did your husband feel about you working?
Oh, he didn't mind it. He didn't mind it when I worked. We worked it out together. And then sometimes right in the beginning he didn't come home nights. But his these friends which we had, they took care of me. We had them to go to. They were not directly related to my in-laws. How do I have to say it? This woman's brother married a niece to my mother-in-law. That's how we got together.
So So they're distant relatives.
Yeah, distant.
When you first got to America, those first 6 months, I mean, your life has changed so dramatically from what it had been in Germany. What were the hardest things to get used to here in this country?
Here in this country? Yeah. Oh, nothing was hard for me. I could fit in any place.
How did you do that? How did you go about fitting in?
Well, I used to go, when I first was here in Brooklyn, I used to go every day, take a walk to this lady, this friend of the in-laws.
The distant relative lady.
Yeah, and she's the one took me around. When he went always to work, you know, my husband. But how did I work from the very beginning? Not in the very beginning. I had to wait a while until I got that job. But I went to her, and she used to take me around. She was so good to me,
and
too.
And where would you go? Where would you go?
To her daughters. She had a daughter I think it was Richmond Hill, yes. We lived in Richmond Hill a while, too, after a long time. She used to take me and trolley car. There was trolley cars at that time. There was no buses. And we used to go to her daughter, and we used to go to the... She showed me her daughters. And they were well off, you know. They each had a house. The one had a house in Long Island. I forget the name of the town now. And the other one had a house in Richmond Hill. And she had a baby, was 1 year old. But after a while, I grew up with them. We were friends. And we were very good. I'm mixed in all over.
Were there special ways that you tried to make yourself more American?
Oh, yes. I fitted right in. And they were surprised that I could talk after a while so good.
What about the way you looked? Did you change the way you looked?
Well, my sister-in-law made a couple of nice clothes for me.
What about your hair? Did you do anything different?
Oh, my hair. I had two braids. They were long braids down the back. And I had them around the back laid over my ears. That's the way we had the hair at that time. Maybe you'll see it on the picture there. But I look so small on there. That's how I wore. My husband didn't like it when I cut my hair. But I did it on the quiet, and he didn't even notice it after a while. My sister-in-law took me to get my hair cut to have a short bob at that time. It was very funny.
Well, of course, that would have been the style in the 1920s, would be a short a short haircut.
Yeah.
Why didn't he like it?
He didn't want me to be different. He wanted me the way I was. But when I was a little afraid, he would holler at me when she took me. I don't know which one took me to have my hair cut. He didn't even notice it. We looked at each other and we didn't say nothing. Well, it was a funny thing.
I'm going to have to get going to that other interview. Sue, I have a couple more questions for you quickly. One is, in the early... the first year or two that you were here in America, did you experience any kind of prejudice against you because you were a foreigner?
Oh, no, no.
Did anyone ever make fun of you because
no,
you couldn't?
Not a bit. Everybody was very nice.
Do you remember trying to say something in English and having it come out wrong?
Oh, that I do, but I don't remember just what. I mixed up sometimes words which didn't even fit in. Yes.
But did your husband help you in any way to learn English?
No, he didn't help me nothing. I had to learn by myself.
When was your first child born?
1920, I only had the one. I wasn't going to put children into the world for somebody else to bring them up. So I had this one, my Elaine. I had her the 2nd of March in 1925.
And can you spell that name? Elaine?
How do you Elaine?
Elaine.
E-L-A-I-N-E. And who gave her the name? A school teacher. She was a friend to my sister-in-law. And she said to her, name her Elaine. Her name is Clara, but it's Clara Elaine, but we call her always Elaine. That stuck with her.
Are there any things, any rules of life that your parents taught you that you've used your whole life? Ways to live by?
I live today that way. My Elaine sometimes gets mad at me because her and I are so different in doing things. I'm doing the same way as I always learned from the very beginning from Germany.
Well, can you say what some of those, the ways that you think are, what are some of those things?
The cooking and the bed making and the cleaning. I do it the German way, the way I learned it.
Well, if I may ask, what is the German way to make a bed? What
Well,
what
we
special?
Have different beds over there. We have altogether different beds. The pillowcases are very big, and they have down feathers in them. These here are small, only this big. But I got used to it. I got used to it. And then the cover is big too, a ladder down, and they are high. They look like a balloon. They look all filled up. When you make the bed, you have this whole thing. Maybe you saw it already.
It's like a feather bed.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And the pillows too. The pillows are big and square. And here we got small ones. But I'm used to it. And I had nothing to start with. We had to just gradually get the things. I managed pretty good.
When you think about your nationality, do you think of yourself as a German woman or as an American woman? How do you think of yourself in terms of nationality?
Well, I'm an American now. All American. Not German anymore. I don't think of, I think of Germany, it's my home place. And I went back quite a few times. I have a sister over there, which I saw about four times in a couple of years.
What year did you become a citizen?
I became a citizen, I think, in 1928, in August.
And how did that make you feel when you became a citizen?
Oh, it was wonderful. That I got to be a citizen. We had to go downtown and I had to do different things. You know, you couldn't be a citizen if you didn't know a certain things. I forgot what I had to know. I forgot it, but I knew it. I can't even remember what we had to say. There was other people got to be a citizen when I was there. They take so many. You know, in the room. And we all had to do, we had to know our things, what it is. I forgot what we had to do. But I know I could do it.
And I guess my final
question. I learned English very fast, very fast. And I can write English too now. And I learned it by myself. I never went to school.
Do you have any advice? You're 90 years old now. You've lived for most of this century. Do you have, if I were a young person coming to you and saying, you know, what is your secret for a successful, long, happy life? What would you tell me?
Well, do you know the person that is there, if they I don't know how to say it. If they are like me, it comes natural. It comes natural to be an American. Everything comes to you when you are there. I can't say anything else, but there is a lot of people that can't learn fast. There is some people that can't learn. My mother-in-law could not even talk English, and she was here in the country a long time. My mother-in-law, when I talked to her,
She may not have wanted to learn it, you know, she may not have wanted to become an
I
American.
think she just couldn't do it. She couldn't even write. I don't know. She came from a family of 16 children. 16, mind you. And she could not write a letter. I had to write her letters when she wanted to write it, a letter to Germany. I had to do an awful lot for her. But I didn't mind it.
We're going to sign off. I want to thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. I hope I did all
You
right.
did a great job. You're just a fountain of knowledge. I think we could probably spend another hour here, actually.
Thank you very much.
This is Paul Sigrist signing off with Clara Schmidt on Monday, September. What is the date today? Monday, September 25th, 1995, in Whiting, New Jersey. Thanks.
Isn't that wonderful?